to William Titus by the Home Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. April 18th, 1985.
Yeah.
Thrills my heart to be here. And we pray that when we're done, you'll say it's been good to be in the house of God. Maybe I won't be good, but you can say that it's been good to be here. I was reading the back of your program, and it says the foremost purpose of this Bible conference is to honor and exalt Almighty God.
Amen.
Desire of my heart.
Amen.
And we pray that He will get honor and glory from us today. I straightened my notes out. Old preacher told me one time, he says, you can't carry fire on paper. And I said, well, you can use paper to start a fire. And so we pray the Lord start a fire this morning. And start it in me, if you will. But sometimes I don't pay a lot of attention to the notes. I probably should. But the Lord is good. And I asked two or three preachers this morning if they had an extra sermon laying around. And they needed one. None of them offered me one, so I'll have to preach the one that I brought. But we are happy to be here. We appreciate Brother Gordon. We certainly appreciate the Home Baptist Church, and I just can't even begin to go into all the blessings you've been to us throughout our life. And so I look around and I see many brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. What a blessing from God to be able to fellowship and to understand some of the things from the Word of God. We're going to begin this morning, just give you a 4 or 5 minutes of what I feel. I can really relate to much of Paul's writings now. He said he was the least of the apostles, chiefest of sinners. The older I get, the more I realize those things and how real that they are. But I thank God. I read in scriptures, I read Romans 8:28, it says, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
God has a purpose for everyone that He calls. Not just preachers, but everyone that He calls to salvation, and He calls them to service.
Amen.
We have people come to our church all the time, and they say, what have you got for me? And I said, well, if you're serious, we got a place where you can serve the Lord.
Yeah,
and we're not to take all the time. We're to give some things, you know, and to help in the service of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me while I'm finishing the introduction here to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Or I'll read one verse in chapter 3 and then in chapter 10. But I've been studying quite a bit recently on Elijah and Elisha. And I read an article not too long ago. It says, what worth the mantle of God? What's it worth to you to be called a child of God? Be called a man of God, a preacher, if you will, pastor. What's that worth? More than money can ever buy. So as I read these couple scriptures here, and these won't be in any kind of a chronological order or anything, just some things that I have felt, and I think of old Eli. If you're here this morning and you're not serving the Lord, you're not a member of the Lord's church, and you're not actively seeking to fulfill the Lord's will in your life, if you're saved, you ought to be. God's Word is just as true today. I don't understand why people think God hated sin a long time ago, but He don't hate it now. You know, they can do anything they want to, come to church when they want to, and live like they want to, and God's not going to do anything about it. I'll tell you, He is. And He says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 12 and 13, that's all I'm going to read for right now, but He said, "In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house." I remember Brother Keller preaching about be left standing in the ashes, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ for a child of God. All the wood, hay, and stubble going to be burnt up. We got a lot of that in our lives. And so as we think about that, He said, "I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." Lord doesn't do anything halfway or partway. And then He says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, and he'll judge your house for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not."
Right.
People tell me all the time, "Well, what can I do?" You can try to restrain them. They may not listen. But you cannot tolerate or condone what they're doing. Anywhere. And as a preacher, we can't. You know, tolerance is the buzzword today. Got to tolerate, been said already, and I'm not going to get off on that too far, but you have to tolerate homosexuals. We have to tolerate sin. We have to tolerate, you know. But the Word of God says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. So as we think of these things, I'm overwhelmed at the, maybe it doesn't affect you that way, but the song they sang yesterday, I can relate to that, sometimes causes me to tremble quite often as I think of the great responsibility to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell people how they ought to live. So turn with me to chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. And I left there, so I'll have to go back. Saul is being anointed king. Chapter 10. It said, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" I feel somewhat kinship to that. I'm not a lord over his heritage or anything of that, but I'm responsible for what I preach to his people. He will hold me responsible. Now, verse 24 and verse 26 of that same chapter. "And Samuel said to all the people, 'See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Verse 26, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Our prayer this morning is that the Lord might touch our hearts, that we might have an inkling of what He's trying to give to us this morning. And so it's worth more than I could ever describe to you to be called a pastor or a minister of the Word of God. The Shunammite woman, remember her over there? She told her husband, she said, I perceive this is a holy man of God that passeth by. What do people perceive about us? What is our reputation? Is it to the praise and honor and glory of God? Or do they ridicule us behind our backs? We must, whatever we do, in fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And that's double for a preacher. A weight or an weighty responsibility. But Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ ought to show in our lives to those around about us. People should perceive of us. I don't believe in, I may say this again, but nevertheless, I don't believe in secret discipleship, and I don't believe in hidden holiness. Amen. I believe that we ought to live because that's the will of God, that we be holy. Amen. And without blame before Him. So as we think about this, I want to tell you one thing. I'm not in competition with anyone. And I just want you to know a few things the Lord has laid upon my heart. And believe. You know, a lot of people say you have to do this, you have to do that. You know. And then others go the other way. They say, well, I don't nitpick and I don't split hairs and I don't either. But as Brother Hamill said last night, and I believe it's still in the book, we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. And it's been delivered and it's specific. God doesn't mince any words or terms about it. He said, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Doctrine, His doctrine, not mine or not yours, but what He would have us to say. But along that line, a few years back, Brother Hamill invited me to the Zohar Conference, and I was able to preach there. And I preached a message that I'm a mold Baptist. And I said then, I'll say it again, I'm not a moldy Baptist, I'm a mold Baptist. You don't have to fit in my mold, but you better fit in His.
Amen.
Because He gives us instruction in the book of how to live and how to act. And if we don't do that, we're going to wind up like Eli waiting for the hand of God to come upon us. Because He will judge us. Told our people last week, you know, a lot of people are living like the devil, but they say they're looking for the rapture. I said, you better be careful, because when Jesus comes, here comes the judge, folks. Who is he that condemneth the world? It is Christ that died. And He's going to judge us one day. So as we think about these things, He's the potter. We're the clay.
Amen.
Well, I think of this many, many times. Ephesians 2:10. People say, oh, I love the Lord. I'm saved. But that says that we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
Not on to live life any way you please. And He puts it in the book. He gives us pastors over His churches, not to lord over them, but to lead them. And it's your pastor's responsibility and my responsibility to tell you what God says to do and not to do. You don't do that, you're not fulfilling the charge of God to His preachers. Be instant. Preach the Word. The time will come. And I crossed out that will in there in my Bible, and I put has. The time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Maybe somebody, some people don't have that problem. We have that problem in Northeast Ohio. They will not endure sound doctrine. They'll endure it for an hour or so on Sunday morning, but they'll again go back home and do as they please. One day, Jesus is going to come. That'd be a glorious day. It's going to be a day of reckoning too. So if we think about this, God has given us this wonderful book. You know, it's the only one like it in the world. And it is supposed to supply doctrine and leadership for all of God's people. And as somebody said yesterday, well, that's just how you interpret the Word. I don't interpret the Word. I don't find anywhere in this book that God says for me to interpret the Word. He says, believe it.
Amen.
Preach it. Live it.
Amen.
And be an example. Jesus Christ is our example. We're to be an example to others around the world. Let others see Jesus in you. And if they're supposed to. So as we think about this precious old black book, it doesn't have to have a black cover on it, but this one happens to have a black cover on it. It's been called the old black book for a long time. But it doesn't make any difference what color cover you have on it. You pray for some of our people, Brother Dennis Morgan, mother died Monday night, and I've got to go home Friday and then go up to Columbus or down to Columbus Saturday and preach the funeral. But his sister wants a Catholic funeral. He said, I'm not going to stand for it. But you know, it doesn't matter what kind of funeral she has. She's gone. Her race is run, and there's nothing going to change it. But pray to the Lord that I might have an opportunity to tell those that are there about the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel to them. The comfort at a funeral is only if you know that the loved one knew the Lord, and to know that you know the Lord. So as we think about those things, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, I'll read that verse and I'll quote another one while you're turning there. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, God, according to His great power, has given us all things that pertain to life and living. Now just grasp that for a minute. And then He tells us how we're to live that life. So Titus 2:13 says that we are to live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the theme, I guess, if you want to call it, of my message is how we are to live. And he tells us, I believe, we're not supposed to just live looking. When he ascended up to heaven, he says, what are you just standing around gazing for? This same Jesus shall so come again in like manner. But until he comes again in like manner, we're not just to be standing around and saying, oh, Jesus is going to come. I'm all set. I don't have anything to do but look for him. No, I believe we're to live looking for him, and I believe we're to live looking like him. And all manner of our life and living. He's given us all things that pertain to life and living. And in verse 4 there, he says that about the many exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, aren't they wonderful? I mean, you can't outdo God if you tried. You can't even come close. God gave us His book. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And I'll probably mention that again in a minute, but listen. His exceeding great and precious promises, whereby we might become partakers of the divine nature. Are you a partaker this morning? Or are you just a taker? You know, the church is full of takers. What do you have for me? What do you have for mine? You give yourself in service to the Lord. That's what that song says. Here I am, Lord. Here I give myself away. It's all that I can do. It's all I've got. It's this old body of clay. And the Lord expects something to happen to it and with it. I'll get to that in just a minute. But we're to live like people professing godliness. I'm a child of God. That don't mean like I'm a son of the King of England, you know. I'm a child of God. I love to read about Joseph. Joseph said, old Potiphar bought him and turned everything he had over to him. The Scripture says because he saw that God was with him.
Yes.
There again, what people see in you and me. And then Potiphar's wife, you know, she tried to seduce him. And he says, how can I do this thing? Most people today say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you might die. But Joseph said, how can I do this thing and sin against my God? He didn't think of Potiphar. He was thinking of his Lord. Because sin is against God. So as we think about this, you might think this is just the ramblings of an old man. And you're partially right. The older I get, the more I realize these things, and they've become so real to me. But oh, that song that says, what a time we will have over there.
Amen,
amen. Brother Clyde. What a time!
Amen.
Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many troubled hearts today.
Yeah.
It ought not to be. He's given us the Word. He's given us the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. And He says over there in 1 Corinthians 6, and I may not get to this later, so I'll give it to you now. And I mention this very often lately. But there's an exclamation over there. He says, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God?
Amen.
You don't have a right to go bare belly and men, you don't have a right to undress and get naked and run out there and mow the grass and all that other garbage. We are children of God, Almighty God. He's my Heavenly Father. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir of God.
Amen.
And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Can we even fathom that? That one song we sang yesterday, and I can't remember the line to it, but it says that it's unthinkable. Unthinkable. That He would send His Son to die for me, that I might have life along with His Son. That's amazing. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You got to put Scripture together. Because you can take a partial Scripture or one Scripture and you can make it say almost anything you want it to say. But your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You ladies, you don't have any right to dress it ungodly with slacks and pants or anything like that. Because God says so. Not because I say so, or because I don't like it, or your preacher doesn't like it, or a pastor. But because God says so. Do you know God says so?
Amen.
Bikinis and shorts and all these other things. And men are the same way. You know, I worked for Chrysler for 30 years driving truck. And it wasn't up until the last 5 years I worked there that they allowed men to wear shorts to work. All of a sudden, after almost 2,000 years, about too hot. You know. My neighbors go to Las Vegas all the time. I've never been there, have no desire to go. We had one lady went to Cancun last year. Why in the world would a child of God want to go to Cancun? Only one reason, and that's to be ungodly. Unholy. The what? Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God? That's the most awesome thing I can even imagine. God is supposed to be in control of your life. So as we think about that, Book of Romans says there's no fear of God before people's eyes today. We need not judge our world when there's no fear of God in God's people's eyes. Judgment's going to begin at the house of God. And it ought to. Before we can tell anybody how to live, we have to check out ourselves and see where we're at. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. And again, because of time, I'm only going to read a portion of Scripture. I'd like to read the whole latter part of that letter, but I will introduce my subject in verse 17. He says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Supposed to. We're supposed to look more like Him every day. We're supposed to be more conformed to the image of Christ today than we were yesterday. Grow in grace and knowledge. Put off and put on.
Amen.
You say, "Don't tell me this. I'm not, but the Bible does." Read Colossians chapter 3, and it's just, I mean, it's all through the books. Put off some things and put on some things.
Amen,
for the honor and glory of Almighty God.
Amen.
Not to please a church or a people or a person to please Him. Bearing my body. I'll get back to that in just a second. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Do you ever read this to your people? I try to squeeze it in almost every week. Responsibility, folks. Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Do you want to please God? Why in the world wouldn't a child of God want to please God? Because we don't hold Him in very high esteem. But He's still God. He's still the most awesome. Love me when I was unlovable. So you would abound more and more. I run into a lot of people who don't care whether they abound or not. Preach to them on Sunday morning, they don't come back Sunday night. Don't come back Wednesday night. They might be there Sunday morning again. Then they just kind of disappear. They miss that many meals. They wouldn't have to worry about going on a diet. But you can miss anything you want with God and it don't hurt you at all. That's what they think. It's amazing to me. It really is. You know, to be a pilot or to be a doctor, to be a dentist, my grandson wants to be a dentist. He's going to go to school 10 years to be a dentist. But people can be a Christian and know it all in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't need ever to come back. Do anything they want. Don't need any instruction in righteousness or anything like that. Paul had come to this place, and I'm there too. And it's not a critical place, and it's not an arrogant place. But he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's unfortunately, I've got a message that says salvation shows. It's supposed to. It's supposed to evidence it in our lives. If you're saved, you're supposed to live like you're saved. So people can recognize you. And so, another one that I kind of was leaning toward preaching was a God-governed people. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Pastor a church where all the people are submitted to the will of God. James 4:7 says that's the only way you have any power in this world. Well, people like to quote scripture, you know, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But they don't want to do what James 4:7 says, submit themselves to God. And the old devil loves it because he's got power over you if you won't submit yourself to God. He can do with you, he can mop the floor with you and wring you out, and there's nothing you can do about it unless you'll submit yourself to Almighty God. And you submit yourself to God through obedience to the Word. We sing a little song in Sunday school, obedience is still the very best way. The very best way to show that you believe. There's no better way. So if we think about that, It's a wonderful thing. I bear in my body. We're supposed to. Supposed to be a natural, normal thing. Not supposed to be unnatural. I know Titus talks about a peculiar people. But even in the world that you and I live in, it's still possible to be a peculiar person for the Lord Jesus Christ. To bear in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wasn't just talking about whippings and whip marks or anything. He's talking about this life I now live. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about walking around like you're holier than anybody else, looking down your nose at everybody. I'm just talking about loving God's people and not being afraid to tell them and exhort them from the Word of God. I have 3 points. That was the introduction. The marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Are you a scripturally baptized member of the Lord's body? Those are marks. Are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God? That's a mark. That'll really mark you. Sacrifice. You make any sacrifices for the Lord? Romans 8:18 says, Paul was from southern part of Israel, I guess. He said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory going to be revealed in us. Just think of that. The glory going to be revealed in us if we're faithful. If I had to define a child of God with one word, I'd say faithful. Faithful. God says it's required. Child of God, be found faithful. Required for blessings. It's required to abound more and more. God is able, you know. And I don't knock any of these, but my Bible says in Peter over there that He's the God of all grace. Yes. You want any grace, you're going to have to get it from God.
That's right.
Amen. There ain't any other place to get it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward us that we always, catch those words in there, we always will have all sufficiency and abound to every good work. And somebody mentioned Matthew 6:33 yesterday, I think it was. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Lay up treasures in heaven. All these things will be added unto you. All the things that people work 7 days a week for, night and day, scrip and scrape and lie and cheat and steal to have.
That's right.
God said, if you'll live godly, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
And I can really say this now, so I kind of like to say it. I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen God's seed go hungry or begging bread. Never have. I've never had. God has been so good to me. I mean, there's just not words to describe Him. I thank all you people for your prayers and support of our oldest son. He was just about that far from going home to glory. But people prayed and God healed him.
Amen.
And Randy, I just praise the Lord for both of them every day. And you know, people ask me, well, what did you do? I got right with God and gave Him the honor and glory. Just grace. It's all grace. It's all grace. You can't outgive God. So as I think about this, the marks, salvation, spirituality, sacrifice, suffering, sanctification, service, And I could preach a while on each one of them, but they're real folks. They're not just words that somebody thought up. They're real. God expects us to identify with them. And these marks result in physical change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's around verse 17, 18 in there, it says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is it new to you? Or are you still living in that old body of clay, now letting the lust of the flesh dominate your life? Old things are passed away. And yes, I can mention a lot of things. I'll only mention a few. Do you young people listen? Being a child of God is not for just old folks. And you don't have to sow your wild oats. I've heard parents say, oh, well, they're just innocently sowing some wild oats. There's no such thing as innocent sin at any age. Because be not deceived, God's not mocked, and whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And yes, I went through this with both of my boys, and praise God they didn't give me any problems. But I raised them, and it's no great thing for me, but I raised them during the hair era. I mean, everybody had long hair. But me and my boys didn't. And they were obedient to that. And I praise God for that, not myself. But listen, long hair, Jesus said, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And then these people come out and say, well, Jesus had long hair. That's a bunch of baloney. Amen. You think Jesus lived a life contrary to the Word of God?
No.
You think He lived a life that was shameful to the Father?
No.
Absolutely not.
Amen.
And it's still a shame.
That's right.
For a man to have long hair, and it's a shame for a woman to have a man's haircut. And that's just the way it is. I can't change that. Don't want to change it. Don't want to water it down or anything else. But listen, dress. We should dress as becometh men and women professing godliness.
Amen.
You won't have any trouble with that. All, if you want to know, just ask your pastor. He'll tell you what's expected. Attitude. A lot of people need an attitude adjustment. No. I get to thinking in the flesh sometimes. I said, Lord, let me give it to him. Get a tire iron or something, you know, and give him an attitude adjustment. But no, that's all in the flesh. Pray for him. But there are a lot of people need an attitude adjustment. It really is. Attitude affects your actions. It really does. We're to manifest the fruits of the Spirit all the time, wherever we're at. Love and joy and peace. Read, I don't have time to turn to it, but read John chapter 14. We read the first six verses a lot of time, but you read the rest of the chapter. That's better than Paul Harvey any day. You read the rest of the chapter and it says, if you be obedient, if you love me, you keep my commandments, the Father will pray for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Jesus said He prayed for them in John 17. He prayed for us. Me and you. Jesus praying for us. He asked Peter a couple of times. He said, Peter, do you love me? This pertains more to preachers, but nevertheless, he says, feed my sheep. But you know, just as responsible as it is for a man of God to feed the sheep, it's a the pew's responsibility to come and dine. Jesus has a table spread. Come and dine. Then as we think, we'll go on to the third point, and I'll just take a minute or two. The greatest marks are spiritual. The greatest results will be spiritual. New birth is a spiritual birth. Must be born again. You must be. I mean, there's no debate, there's no argument. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to love God, if you're going to do anything toward God, you must be born again. The Bible says in John chapter 4 that God is spirit. Now listen, you can't serve Him and praise Him and love Him in the flesh. No matter how much you try, God is spirit and must be worshipped. In spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. The love of Christ constraineth us. Titus 2:11, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation teaches us. You know, when Jesus ascended, He said, if I go away, I'll send a comforter unto you. And when He comes... And this bothered me for a long time. He said, when He comes, He will lead you into all truth. Why in the world isn't everybody in the world that professes Jesus Christ know the truth? Because they don't follow. They're not willing to be led. We're sheep, folks. We're dependent upon the shepherd to lead us in the path of righteousness. And we're responsible to follow.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
Believers. John 3 talks about Nicodemus there. He says, you must be born again.